Hello, good morning. My name is Amanda Panino, and I am a master's student under Dr. Karen Vaughn at the University of Wyoming. And today I'd like to talk to you guys about a project that we are working on that is part of a larger site assessment in Wyoming. And what we're looking at is soil development at an abandoned uranium mine post-reclamation or restoration. And how we're going to measure that is looking at the A-horizon development on the site. And so really what I want to show you is some preliminary data that we have, along with some observations, and maybe just a little bit of a story about soil recovery in Wyoming. So mining in Wyoming is split into two different fashions. You have your subsurface mining for your extraction of oil and gas, and then you also have your surface mining, which is a lot more invasive of a process for things such as coal or uranium. And that is done through pit mining, quarrying, strip mining. Here's a picture of our site in Wyoming, which is a uranium mine. And so you can see this road right here, Ore Road. And on the right-hand side, you can see some of these environmental scars left behind by mining. And on the left, you have this really drastic native environment. And so I, you know, even when I'm out on this landscape, I'm really struck by how intense these mining processes can affect the land. And I think it's really important to note that Wyoming is the top producer of uranium ore, which is the site that we're studying. And mining is anecdotally really wanted in Wyoming to continue, if not even flourish even more. So really studying the effects of this disturbances of this mining could prove really valuable. And so now by law, mining companies are required to restore and upheld to certain standards of reclamation and requirements to fix the land. And Wyoming faces a number of unique challenges. And we're talking in a high altitude, semi-arid environment. We have extremely low precipitation. We have extreme temperatures, really cold. I think this winter I experienced my first negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit. It's really cold. We have really high intense winds. I'm sure people have some jokes about that in Wyoming. Kind of paired with all of this, we have little available and fertile topsoil. Wyoming has really great amounts of entosols and aridisols, which are generally hard to grow in, and to reestablish vegetation in, which is really important. So traditionally, landscape reconstruction is done to these mines by creating simple uniform slopes and terraces. These terraces are also known as benches, so during large rain events, when water wants to run off, they redirect the water off the landscape to avoid slope failure. These features are not really integrated into the hydrological system of the surrounding area. And I think that it's been noted this a couple times that these kind of landforms are not really often found in nature. You don't see these types of landforms, especially in Wyoming, so they really stick out when you're driving around. And it has been noted that these kind of slopes require a lot of maintenance due to slope failures and erosion, rills, and gullying. And here's a pretty good picture of what that looks like. And so you have these really non-complex slopes. You have those benches in the middle. And here you can even see here these gullies that are starting to form from the instability of the landscape. I don't know if you can really see here. You can kind of see them there. And so this is what has been traditionally done in Wyoming, along with other places around the world and the country. What has not yet been tested until now in Wyoming is geomorphic methods. And so this is really integrating this idea of fluvial geomorphology and creating these complex landforms that could prove to be more stable or resilient to future disturbances. They try to incorporate the idea of natural drainages that can be connected to the surrounding landscape. In addition, it tries to mimic this natural environment. So creating a more mature landscape, I think, is the end goal for this method. And we're studying Wyoming's first geomorphic site. The Wyoming Department of DEQ is the one that implemented this and sought us out to really see if this might be a good fit in Wyoming to study. And so here is a picture taken from a drone. We got some really cool footage from this drone flight in 2015. This is our site. This is taken from, I want to say fall or like dead summer, because it looks a lot prettier than this when everything's green and lush. Now there's a ton of shrub establishment, which I think was really cool and surprising to see in such an arid environment. And we're talking sagebrush that's like 2 or 3 feet high, and that's really surprising. And so you can see here just these drainages. This is a natural drainage, so you can tell that they tried to bring this out to incorporate into the natural landscape. And you can barely see here just a slope that's an example of one that hasn't been reclaimed or restored. So our site is located in central Wyoming. These red lines circle the areas that have been historically and currently mined for uranium. We are located in the Gast Hills, and here's where Wyoming is. I've had a couple questions of that this week, like, where's Wyoming? This is where Wyoming is, and this is where Yellowstone is, very important. So the Gast Hills site that we're studying, it is an abandoned uranium mine. It was mined in the late 70s, early 80s. The mining process started before the laws were enacted that you had to reclaim the site. It was then reclaimed, this is a picture of the finished product, in 2006, 2007, using both methods on adjacent sites of reclamation, traditional and geomorphic. The topsoil used during restoration was local topsoil that was stockpiled about a mile down the road. And really what this study is a decade-old landscape, and we're studying it 10 years later. What has happened on this landscape? And so just a little bit about this area. The surrounding soils are erythrosols and septosols, cementosols on the slopes. This site, classified by Web Soil Survey, is mine or dump, which needs some updating, I think. The mean annual temperature of this area is about 42 degrees Fahrenheit, 5 degrees Celsius. Rainfall only about 10 inches a year, and that's sometimes on a good year, sometimes on a bad year. So it really fluctuates. And like I said before, this is a high altitude restoration project, so we're about at a 7,000 feet elevation. So a little bit about the process that happened on this site. You had your very native soil. During the mining, right before the mining process, they scraped off all the topsoil that they could find, which was labeled in the proposal as brown soil. That's all I got. Don't know what depth they scraped it to. And it was stockpiled, like I said before, about a mile down the road and has been kept there for we don't know how long, most likely decades. And then during the mining process to extract the uranium ore, they had to move this subsurface overburden and they piled it on top of the landscape. And so this is right here. We do not know when they did that. We do not know what depth it was at, nor where it came from. So this is a little bit of a guessing game, but we know it's there. During the reclamation process, they regraded it with bulldozers, probably severely compacting it. And these are huge bulldozers. I'm talking like the tires are the size of cars. I've never seen anything like it. And then topsoil was then brought back in, spread amongst the whole landscape, completely homogenized. Completely homogenized. And so what we're wondering now is what has happened since 10 years ago after reclamation? What short-term soil genesis has happened? And we're measuring this in terms of a horizon development, because that's usually the first thing that would come along. And this is a good example of that not happening. And so here's that topsoil I was talking about before, and this subsurface overburden. And we can't even see the native soil. We're not sure how deep it is. Okay, so three treatments that we studied: geomorphic, traditional reclamation, and then we had an undisturbed refer site down the road. Pits were dug to 1 meter. We had a total of 38 pits at this site, described and sampled by Horizon. I'm sure every pathologist in this room has this really awesome, flattering photo of them with a head in a hole. And so we analyzed this soil for pH, EC, carbon, nitrogen, bulk density, and morphological characteristics. And so I wondered, as I'm looking through the literature, what is an A horizon? I got a suite of an accumulation of organic matter, accumulation of humic substances, a surface horizon, dark in color. But to compare between all three sites and to keep it really consistent, we decided to create a criteria for an A horizon that would work for our landscape. And so that was, it had to be a mineral soil greater or equal to 3 centimeters in thickness with an accumulation of organic matter. The data that we have right now, we had total carbon and nitrogen, so we use that coupled with a low pH when compared to the horizon below to try and weed out anything that may be an increase of carbon due to carbonates. If that wasn't a huge difference between the horizon below, we took into consideration decrease in bulk density when compared to the horizon below, root occurrence, and the presence of soil aggregation or structure. And so here's what we found. Here's a soil at the geomorphic site, and we did find some A horizons, morphologically speaking, that had some granular structure, light, fluffy, little bit difference in color, but not really much, which is expected. You can see that line again of that topsoil and the subsurface. I was really intrigued by the subsurface overburden. We're getting pHs between 2 and 3. I was really shocked, especially to see these colors in such an arid environment was also really shocking. I did not expect this. And we never hit the native soil, but it's down there somewhere, we assume. So that's why this is here. We're not sure. So I really struggled on what to call this bottom horizon because we're not sure where it came from. We weren't sure if it was weathered in place. We doubt it. We think that most of its features are relicts from where it came from. But we're not sure exactly what we're seeing. We think that maybe it was transported rotten rock. Usually you see a CR over an R. This isn't the case. Anthropogenic soils are really complicated, along with they follow different lines of pedogenesis than natural occurring soils. And this is just in comparison of what I found across the street, just some beautiful aridisols. And this is how I actually knew that we never hit the native soil. I did not know this is subsurface overburden until by accident we were sampling on site and the engineer drove by and was like, hey, did you hit that overburden yet? And I'm like, overburden? I thought this was the native soil. We didn't know. We got no record of what had happened on the site. And so this really just confirmed that that was not what we were hitting. That was not native soil. And so that's just really what we're kind of comparing it to in terms of success. And so looking at just the distribution of everything, we called an A horizon. As expected, the undisturbed site had a higher total carbon percentage. The traditional reclaim site did have a slightly higher carbon percentage. I think this is due to the fact that almost no shrub establishment was on this site. It was mostly grasses. Grasses having a lot of biomass and a quick turnover time. There was more shrub establishment on the undisturbed site, which I think is generally favored on these sites for reclamation. And so this really compares everything I called an A horizon to all of the surface horizons I did not call an A horizon. And kind of just verifying that, you can see an increase of carbon from everything I called an A to everything that I did not call an A among all three sites. And again with pH, as expected, we found a lower pH in the undisturbed site and a higher in the restored or reclaimed sites. I actually expected them to be a lot higher than this. I think that some more grab samples this summer might be a little bit interesting to make more of a pH map across this landscape. And again, just to show everything that we classified as an A horizon in each site was lower than every surface sample that we classified not as an A horizon, everything decreasing. Maybe not so much, but at least a little bit. And so, kind of taking this all into account, I did not find a huge difference between reclamation treatments in terms of soil development, not yet at least with the data that we have. However, there is evidence of A horizon formation, and I think that was really awesome. I went out there thinking I was going to be able to get my shovel in, maybe a couple centimeters, not knowing the full history of the site, really being surprised with what I saw. A total of 13 out of 15 pits were classified with an A horizon. In the geomorphic treatment, and 10 out of 13 in the traditional treatment. And so future work of the larger project is to really study how the landscape complexity might affect the spatial distribution of the A, of the development. Also involved in this is some erosional modeling, vegetation establishment, using some remote sensing techniques, and overall assessment of use in Wyoming for geomorphic reclamation, going back to the Wyoming DEQ and telling them, yes, this may be good for Wyoming. No, maybe it's not good for Wyoming. Let's look out for another methods. And something else I'd really like to think about more is, can we use this A horizon development as a measure for success? Is, you know, when you think about the development of an A horizon, you're thinking that you have some sort of landscape stability, some accumulation of organic matter that could prove beneficial for vegetation establishment. So really just thinking about a more defined criteria for an A horizon for these semi-arid and arid ecosystems may prove to be valuable, and just a really good way for pedologists maybe to come back to reclamationists and really bridge that gap between the two. Thank you. Yeah.